Pioneer aviator Ernest Craft Hall was born in 1890 in the small community of Gustavus, Ohio. When he was 7 years old, his family moved south to Warren, where they opened the Hall's Music Store. The Halls lived in a home with an interesting bit of history, the former Packard family residence on High Street, the same Packards who later founded the Packard Automobile Company. Behind the Hall home stood a large brick carriage house, and it was inside that very building that young Ernie began to chase the dream of flight. Between 1906 and 1909, while still just a teenager, he built several full-size hang-type gliders. And he didn't just build them, he flew them. He'd carry his creations to a hill that once stood where Perkins Park is today. That hill, just a few hundred feet from his home, was his runway. Ernie would run, leap off, and glide across the air, teaching himself the fundamentals of flight long before aviation schools existed. Then came an opportunity that would change his life. In 1908, when he was still under 18, the manager of an aerial exhibition company, a man named Stanley Vaughn, found himself without a pilot for his small gasoline-powered airship. The pilot had quit, and Vaughn needed someone fearless, someone willing to learn quickly. Ernie stepped forward, applied for the job, and got it. He became an airship pilot before most people in America had ever even seen an aircraft. It was his first professional flying job. Not long after that, in 1909, the aviation world was electrified by a major milestone. A Frenchman named Louis Blériot had become the first person to fly across the English Channel from France to England in a monoplane of his own design. It was international news. Before long, advertisements appeared in the United States offering construction plans and parts for the Blériot aircraft sold by the American Aeroplane Supply House in Long Island, New York. Ernie was fascinated. He studied Blériot design and began building one of his own. On August 30, 1911, at the Turner Farm near Leavittsburg, Ohio, he made his first successful heavier-than-air flight in his home-built Blériot. It was a major moment, not just for Ernie, but for aviation in the entire region. Aviation in those early years was a small and close-knit world. Pilots shared knowledge, materials, and support whenever needed. And in 1912, that world brought Ernie Hall face-to-face with the Wright brothers themselves. By this point, Ernie was already considered an accomplished aviator. A year later, in 1913, he was hired by the Curtis Exhibition Company, one of the major aviation organizations of the time, as a flying instructor in Newport News, Virginia. There, he taught National Guardsmen how to fly. Late in 1914, Ernie took another leap forward when he purchased a Wright Brothers flying boat known as the Model G. It was only the second one of its kind ever built. The following year, in 1915, he established a flying school at Conneaut Lake, Pennsylvania. The price for flying lessons? $90 per hour, room and board included. A significant sum at the time, but well worth it for anyone interested in the new science of flight. Then came World War I. When the United States entered the war, Ernie tried to enlist as a military flight instructor. Unfortunately, the military turned him down due to poor eyesight. But the government was also hiring civilian instructors, and Ernie was quickly brought on in that capacity. He was initially sent to McCook Field in Dayton, Ohio, one of the most important early aviation research centers in the country, where he was immediately promoted to chief civilian flight instructor, earning an impressive salary of $10,000 a year, a huge sum for the era. Soon after, he was transferred to Caulfield in Wichita Falls, Texas, where he trained more than 500 aviators for World War I. His impact on American military aviation was substantial. After the war ended, something unusual happened. The military suddenly had more airplanes than it needed. These surplus aircraft, particularly the famous Curtis Jenny trainers, were sold for pennies on the dollar. Ernie bought one and began offering passenger and freight flights. He charged $1 per mile per person, and people were thrilled to experience flight for the first time. In 1920, Ernie returned home to Warren and continued teaching people to fly from various local fields. Then, in the mid-1920s, he purchased land known as the Idings Farm on Niles Cortland Road, about a mile north of Howland Corners. He prepared the land for an airfield and contracted Harley West and his crew to build a large hangar. By 1928, Hull's airport was open for business. The airport grew quickly. It offered flight training, passenger flights, and fuel services. Ernie was also known for putting on impromptu aerobatic shows on Sunday afternoons if a big crowd happened to be at the field. He loved flying, and he loved sharing it. By the late 1930s and into the 1940s, Ernie trained most of his students in a fleet of three Piper J3 Cubs, simple, reliable airplanes that made learning to fly cheaper than ever before. In 1958, Hull charged just $3 for a 15-minute flying lesson, making flight accessible to almost anyone who was interested. Ernie's contributions did not go unnoticed. In the late 1930s, Ohio Governor Martin L. Davie appointed him the State Director of Aviation, a position he held during the governor's 1936 to 1939 term. The state even provided him with a Waco cabin biplane to use while performing his duties. Over the years, Hull received numerous honors. He was a member of the Early Birds, a group limited to pilots who had taught themselves to fly before 1916. He was named Mr. Ox 5 after the early aircraft engine flown by pioneering aviators. He became a charter member of the Quiet Birdmen, one of the most exclusive aviators fraternities in the country. And he was recognized as one of the Wright Flyers, a group of aviators who had flown aircraft designed by the Wright brothers. Today, Ernie's legacy lives on in museums across the country. Three of his Blériot-type aircraft are on display in national collections. His Curtiss J-1 Standard training airplane can be seen at the Glenn Curtiss Museum in Hammondsport, New York. And right here at home, a replica of Ernie Hull's Blériot and his personal traveling airplane, a 1947 Piper PA-12 Supercruiser, are on display at the Ernie Hull Aviation Museum in Warren, Ohio. The Supercruiser, which flew 35 to 40 miles per hour faster than his training planes, was lovingly restored by the museum over a six-year period. Today, you can see it either in the museum or flying gracefully overhead on nice days. Ernest Craft Hull passed away on December 5, 1972, at the age of 82. He had been flying for more than 61 years and had been a flight instructor for 57 of those years. Few people in aviation history can claim a career that long, that influential, or that passionate. His legacy is preserved today at the Ernie Hull Aviation Museum, located at 4033 North River Road in Warren, Ohio. There, visitors can learn not only about Ernie, but also about countless other local aviators who helped shape the history of flight in this region and beyond. Ernie Hull was more than a pilot. He was a pioneer, a teacher, a showman, and an innovator. He lived a life that bridged the entire span of early aviation, from the age of gliders and wooden propellers to the dawn of jet travel. His story reminds us that some of the greatest pioneers in American aviation didn't come from big cities or wealthy families. They came from places just like ours, driven by imagination, skill, and an unshakable belief that humans truly could take to the sky.